Praise Jesus. Praise God. I trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping you, sustaining you, watching over your life. And today we are in the Word of God, and we have been examining Paul and looking at his first missionary journey. And we can see that he goes with Barnabas, and this is after they are sent out by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when they had gathered together to pray, the Holy Spirit said, "Set aside for me Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I've called them." And later on, we see the manifestation of Paul, Saul becoming to Paul. And this is where we see he has the demonstration of the power. He has the demonstration of contending with the forces of darkness. He becomes the chief speaker. And we see that God starts to use him in a mighty way. And gradually we also see Barnabas laying back, going back and allowing Paul to be the main speaker. It's interesting how when Paul describes himself, he does not describe himself as one who was a great speaker, because you see how the Corinthian church say that, or he says of him that, "I know when I come to you, I came with trembling. And many say that my letters are weighty, but my presence amounts to nothing much." So at times you have to have this picture of this thin old man, and, you know, with this bald head, who they even used to call him a babbler. What is this babbler saying? Who is just trying to speak words, and his presence is not anything amounting to anything worthy. That's why he says, "I make myself all things to all men that I may win some." And so we see Paul being this gentleman who struggles to communicate, but God gave him something that is for generations. God gave him the writing. God gave him the ability to communicate doctrine and to communicate things that we read even today, and that they form the foundation of the faith. And that's what the Bible says, that he says that, "As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and no one can lay any other foundation apart from the foundation that is Christ." And he says, after that foundation is laid, then each of us can build, but we must be careful how we build. The foundation is Christ, yes. And that means that we are born again. We, those that are believing in Christ, those that have given their lives to Jesus, those that have surrendered to him, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you see, there is still a building to be built. There is still a foundation. The Bible calls us living stones that are being built up into the house of God. And God says that let each of us watch how we build, because based on what materials we build, be it, you know, gold, be it stones, be it silver, be it grass, be it woods, be it mud, it shall all be tested by fire. And some people will just escape, you know, will just barely enter heaven as those escaping the fire. So we are called to be careful how we build, because it's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to live under the command of heaven, to live under the dictates of heaven, to live under instruction of heaven. As I keep saying, that God has many disobedient children, and disobedient children cannot really be sent on errands because they have not yet aligned to their main purpose, to the purpose of heaven. Each of us has a unique design, a unique mold that God has called us to be. There are some of us who are revivalists. There are those who will speak on holiness. There are those who will teach on grace. There are those who will teach on money. There are those who will teach the church on family. There are those who will teach the church on influence, on being marketplace apostles, and making a difference to the world. Each of us is given a unique alignment in the kingdom of God once we have all understood the basic foundation of Christ. So Christ is our foundation. He is our doctrine. And we have to call him Lord. When we call him Lord, then we are sensitive to his leading. We are obedient to his guidance. We are taught by him. We are encouraged by him. And even though that means walking in persecutions, even though that it means walking in trouble, if this is ordained by God, then so be it, because he has promised to deliver us from all this trouble. And one of the things that we see about Paul, we see that he understood that God had cut him out for suffering. In fact, when he's called, God says that this is man, he tells Ananias that this man is a chosen instrument of which he shall take the gospel to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And he says, and I will show him the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And so we see, even in his first missionary journey, as we have started to see, is in Antioch of Syria, where he starts to face serious opposition. And this is ideally because of jealousy. And we've said before that any territory has contention. There are spirits behind territories. There is always a fight. The devil will not go out without a fight, because he wants people. He wants people as well. He wants people to join him in hell and to join him in the suffering and in his judgment, because he knows his time is short. Now, as believers, we that are sent, we that have accepted the call, to not just be concerned about ourselves, because many people are just concerned about themselves. They are not yet built the capacity to take care of themselves. But you see, when you become a mature son of God, when you grow in maturity, then you can carry the burdens of others. You can carry others along. You can pray for others. You can see and discern the burden of God over a territory and take a stand and take a stand and make a difference. Now, if we just look at Acts chapter 14, and yesterday we concluded in Acts chapter 13, where he was, you know, there was conflict at Antioch, and where he had to run away. And, you know, the Bible tells us, maybe if we just look at that closing part, Acts 13 verse 49, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. Can you imagine? You are expelled from an entire region. But verse 51 tells us, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14 is where we are settling in. The Bible says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You can see there was a message that Paul was preaching. He was preaching the mercy of God. He was preaching the grace of God. He was preaching that we do not enter salvation by works. It is not by the keeping of the law, keeping of the Sabbath, you know, following the doctrine or the teachings of Judaism that we are saved. He was teaching that the grace of God is available to everyone that believes in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this grace is what makes them saved, not of man that anyone may boast, but we are saved by grace through faith. And this was a message that was difficult for the Jews. Why? Because the Jews wanted religion. They wanted, oh, it is what we have done. It is what I have done since I was a child. I've kept the law. But you see, for the Gentiles, they have nothing to boast, because salvation did not originate from the Gentiles. It came from the Jews. And so the Gentiles, when they hear the message that, oh yes, they are included, Jews and Gentiles, you are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, they believed it. But you see, there are those who poisoned their mind. The Jews, the unbelieving Jews, poisoned the mind of the Gentiles. But what do we see the strategy of Paul? Paul does not stop preaching. Paul and Barnabas, the Bible said, but therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. And what did God do? The Bible says, the Lord who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. I assure you that God is always bearing witness when we speak the word of his grace, when we declare the truth to people, when we preach in boldness, when we are baptized, when we are anointed. There is a certain boldness that makes us able ministers of the new covenant. We are able ministers. Why? Because we behold the face of God. We see him as in a mirror, face to face, each and every day. We are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory into his image. And that's what happens, my brother, my sister, as you sit by the word of God. You are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory into the image of God, into the image of Christ. The more and more you sit by the word, the more and more you are becoming like Christ. The more you are made like Christ. And that is why they are able to speak boldly. And that's why the Bible tells us that as ministers of the new covenant, we speak boldly because we are not veiled. We are not covered. Our eyes are open. And I pray also as well that God will open your eyes to understanding. Because it's one thing for the preacher to try and open your eyes. But it's another thing for the scriptures to be open to you. And you can think of how Jesus on the road to Emmaus, he spoke to them. But he had to open their understanding. And their understanding were open and they understood the gospel. Now, verse 4, the Bible says, Acts 14, verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. Now, I want you to see that there is a pattern of that is happening, and this is also something that we are able to see as we look beyond, you know, his first missionary journey, is we see there is a specific pattern that God will give them the grace of an area. They will go to the synagogues where the people will pray, and then they will start preaching to the people. Now, those who had believed, those who are appointed for eternal salvation believed, both Jews and Gentiles. But you see, when a whole city gathers to hear just one man, of course, those who wanted to keep them for themselves come in opposition, and they fight, and they fight back. And the Bible tells us they fought them, and they attempted, the Bible says, a violent attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. And they became aware of it and they fled to Lystra and Derbe. This reminds me of what Jesus said, that when you are persecuted in one city, run to another, flee to another. He says, you shall not finish preaching to all the cities before the Son of Man comes. And this is something that you can read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. It says that when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Now, coming back to Acts chapter 14, let us look at verse 8, which you now see they're running to Lystra and Derbe. Verse 8 tells us, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. Look at now, look at the comparison. And if you just think of Peter, Peter raised a man who was lame from his mother's womb. And now we can, and we're told the man was above 40, at least 40 years old. And now we see Paul here is doing the same. Now the Bible tells us, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. So Paul was preaching, and as he was preaching, the man started to receive faith. And this is something that you have to understand about miracles. You have to preach. You have to preach. It's like when Jesus was filling the, you know, told the servants to fill the jars with water until when they were full, then he told them to draw out. Now, the Bible says the man had Paul speaking and observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying, "In the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Look at the shout of the Lycaonians. They're like, they saw someone command a man they know who was crippled from his mother's womb to stand up straight with your feet. And the man jumped and walked. And the Bible says they say in their language, and Paul and Barnabas did not understand at that point what they were saying. They said, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And you see, one of the things about Gentiles is they had understanding that gods could come in the likeness of men. So whenever they were told that you can be made sons of God, to them they were like, "Wow, that means that God can make us his children." They had that understanding. Now, and verse 12, and Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. See, Paul was the chief speaker. Verse 13, then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. They wanted to offer a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. To them they were saying, "Hermes and Zeus have come to them." Verse 14, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitudes, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed the nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave them without witness. In that he did good, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. They still insisted. They still went ahead. Now, verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, I just want you to see something. I mean that one moment there, they've healed a crippled man, but then Jews follow them. The Jews followed them all the way from Iconium, and they followed him in Lycaonia. And what do? They persuaded the multitudes and they stoned Paul. Remember the first time they made an attempt in Lystra? They made an attempt to stone, a violent attempt, but they did not succeed. But now here in Derbe, they actually stone him. And you can you if you can picture how stoning was done in that time, they would actually throw stones on you until they're sure it is piled. But now they threw stones, they hit him. You can imagine huge stones being thrown by a crowd and everyone is hitting, and they were sure he was dead. And the Bible says they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, but the Bible says there's something the believers understood. They knew that God, we still need this man. This man is here to teach us. We still need Paul. The Bible says the believers, they gathered. They gathered around him. Do you think they were gathering to mourn? No, they gathered to pray. They gathered, they prayed, and they called on God. And the Bible says, Paul rose up. I tell you, your work cannot be stopped by men. That which God has placed you on the earth to do cannot be hindered by men. When we are aligned to purpose, it is God that says that we are done. Not men. Men might suck us from jobs. Men might block us from cities. Men might stone us. Men might push us away. But when we are called of God, when we are ordained of God, when we are serving God, there is resurrection. There is resurrection. And you see, when Paul says, I bear in me the marks, the scars, let no man trouble me. I carry the marks of suffering. He has borne the scars. He says, I was stoned. I was beaten by the Jews. And maybe just to think of it, and maybe we can see the end tomorrow, but let me just connect it with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, 11. And he tells Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. And you see, these are the three places we have looked at. Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra. And, you know, Antioch, he was chased away. At Iconium, the violent attempt was made. At Lystra, he was actually stoned. He says, what persecutions I have endured, and out of them, all the Lord delivered me. Yes. And he says, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. One of the things we see about Paul is his determination. And he says, look at the persecutions that I endured, that happened to me. He's telling Timothy, you know them. In Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord shall deliver us. The Lord shall deliver you and me out of them all. Just as he delivered Paul, I pray that God shall deliver you and I from every persecution that comes our way for the sake of the gospel. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone that has taken a moment to listen. You know the troubles they face. You know the places they need divine intervention. I speak a word of grace. It might be in sickness in the body. It might be in challenges in the church. It might be in persecution from brothers. It might be in persecution from unbelievers. It might be persecution from the state, oh God. Your hand and power encourage them. Let them be reminded that indeed out of them all the Lord shall deliver them. And indeed anyone that desires to live a godly life shall be persecuted. You have promised deliverance, and even if it means to death, we know that deliverance, that death is just a gateway to eternal life in you. I thank you for your children, your hand of blessing, your hand of healing, your hand of grace and mercy. Rest upon each and every one of them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed day, people of God. Bye.